to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 173 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I'm your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a great weekend. Man, things just keep unfolding here as yet another week of this global issue has come and gone. I hope you and your families are staying as safe as possible. I hope you get to decompress at home a little bit. Hope you're able to have some fun with your immediate family by staying 6 feet apart from everybody. Lindsay and I are trying not to get bored to death, and that's hard to do normally. We're active. We're out and about. We're doing things. And, man, this cooped up stuff is for the birds, that's for sure. This past weekend was Lindsay's birthday. I was supposed to take her to go see Blake Shelton, and things got canceled, obviously. So we made a little makeshift Blake Shelton concert in the man cave over the weekend. Just try to keep things as fun as possible, which we had a blast, which was very cool. Michigan on lockdown basically for 3 more weeks, at least as of the start of last night. Only essential services are open and are you allowed to leave your house for, which is, man, who would have thought we'd be talking these words, essential services, quarantine, social distance, whatever the hell they're using for that. Like, these are not words that were in the vocabulary and the terms that we're using them now, which is just nuts. And anyways, last night, did you guys tune into the Garth Brooks Live thing there on Facebook? That was pretty cool. I think it's awesome. Whether it's a musician doing a 30-minute concert or NASCAR drivers coming together to run an iRacing event, they are doing that for us, which is incredible. And above and beyond the call of duty, that is for sure. But man, had a blast with that. And can't wait to talk about that iRacing race here in just a couple minutes. Just kind of want to highlight maybe how the next couple weeks, or who knows how long this thing's going to last. But I will continue to try to bring you something here each and every week. Who knows? Depending on how long this, content might dry up. That's all I'm going to say. So as this drags out, maybe the shows might get a little shorter. But going to bring you something. And hopefully, as time passes, can get back with interviews and full shows like normal. Hope you guys checked out last week's listener call-in show. Tonight, a little of the same, but wanted to dedicate tonight's show to the men and women who are out there in the medical field, the first responders, teachers, public service, whoever still have to go out and fight the fight, grocery store workers, truck drivers, kitchen crews, all that kind of stuff. They're doing that while trying to stay safe and healthy and don't get to stay at home. So huge thanks to all of them, and thought it'd be fun to dedicate the show to them tonight. So I got a couple followers calling in to talk about their gig is in the first responder area, if you will. So can't wait to get a couple listeners on here in just a little bit. We had some racing this weekend. It was an iRacing exhibition, and it was rather entertaining. I got the lucky dogs back this week. Aaron will be on in a little bit to shoot the shit. And, big congrats are in order for him, and I'll tell you why a little bit later. I got a new giveaway going on that I put out on Sunday. And just an FYI, once we go back racing, we'll talk some lap traffic fantasy and all that good stuff, which is going to be interesting. And it's probably going to take a cooperative effort by all the players. As it sounds like once we do get up and running, there's going to be more than one race a week here at some point in time. So have to fine tune the pick submissions and all that kind of stuff. So once everything gets situated, we can figure all that out and what'll work best for that. All right. Enough of that. Let's have some fun. Let's get some listeners on. Kick back, relax, pop a top, have some fun. And let's get this part two of a listener call-in show cranked up. But first, I think I need to talk about this awesome job that Fox and iRacing did on Sunday. The broadcast, man, I'm telling you, that was as real could get, in my opinion. We had a pre-race invocation, the national anthem. We had Crank It Ups. We had in-car cam reviews. We had driver communication. We had video feeds from the driver's rig in their home or wherever they were doing it. And hell, we even had Larry Mack's trends of the race. Outside of the fact that you were looking at what looked like a video game, a realistic video game, you felt like you were watching cars on the track, which was awesome. Hell, we even had commercials, which is something that we tend to see during a real race, too. So just absolutely incredible job. It was incredible that we had a field of 35 drivers from across all three series. We had guys who don't even race on a regular basis anymore. Dale Jr., Bobby Labonte. Just fantastic that those guys were like, hell yeah, let's do this. You know, we had a lot of cautions, but who cares? It was for the experience. It was for the entertainment value that this was done. And I said last week, you know, I could maybe watch an iRace with actual drivers. I couldn't do it with just, you know, Bob running. But it was fantastic. You know, like I said, we had a caution every 10 laps, but it was fun. It was great to live tweet. It was great to see the drivers all having a blast. It was great to see everyone rally around social media. I can't say enough positive things about Sunday, and I'm looking forward to this Sunday as well at Texas. You know, the setups that these guys have, like Jimmy, Denny, and Kyle, man, so intense. You know, you had guys that could feel the wheel hops and all that to guys that, you know, had the setup just on their computer with, you know, the pedals and the steering wheel. Again, all I can say is they did this for us, the fans. They didn't need to do that. They can run those races on their own. They didn't. They could be spending time with their families during all this, because we all know that Cup season, 36 weeks plus, you know, that just shows you how much they miss racing for the fans. And everyone came together to put this on, from Fox, iRacing, the drivers. Again, I just can't say enough fantastic things about what we were able to come together with as a racing community and see on Sunday. And there were some decent racing parts, too, if I'm going to be honest. You know, Dale Jr. almost won the thing. We were about to have a photo finish. We had guys like Garrett Smithley, who runs these all the time up front with the big-time Cup drivers, which was awesome that their names got to be a part of some Sunday racing. This reset button, I'm not sure how that all works, but hey, it was cool. I love Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer, pure gold for TV. He was having such a fun time. You know, when Jeff was breaking in and talking with him, oh my God, I cannot wait till Clint Bowyer is in the booth. I mean, and I like him on the track too, but man, he's fun to listen to. And then I saw Ryan Ellis tweet out asking if we could do this with the trucks at Martinsville. Yes, please, can we do that? Please. And I can't wait for Sunday. I will be on the Twitter live tweeting this. I'm sure Sherwin from PETM will be as well. Come join us. We did a live tweet last night of a old race at Infineon/Sonoma. And had fun just tweeting something on the raceway. Andrew Kancian was there. Jumpy Bob, I think, chimed in. The Rowdy Dragon. Some regulars for sure, which was great. Great to be back out there on social media for sure. All right. Let's get things cranked up with our first call. Let's crank up the Wave Around Hotline. And let's get John on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, he is currently in 42nd place in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Not too many people are doing worse than I am, John. We're going to have to talk about that. He is a big NASCAR fan. He is from California. He's been an avid listener and follower of the show. And most importantly, he is a volunteer firefighter. Welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast. John Warrington, sir, good evening. How are you?
Good, but we got one problem, Brandon. I am not from California.
You're not from... Wait, no. Oh, shoot. Sorry. My bad.
I'm from Iowa.
Iowa. I don't know. You know what? I think I must have done a typo on the area code when I'm like trying to figure out where you were from there with your phone number. I apologize about that.
Yep.
All right. First off, 42nd place, Lap Traffic Podcast. What's going on, man?
What's going on is, with no racing, I'm not falling any further behind.
Good call there, man. Good call.
A lot of bad luck, but I've got a lot of big weapon, big bullets left in the gun yet. I've been conservative. Other than Kyle Larson at California, I've still got some pretty big bullets left in the gun yet.
Excellent. Yes, man. Can't wait to send out that email that says picks are due. I cannot wait to be able to do that. Well, man, first off, thank you for your service as a volunteer firefighter. How did you get into that, man?
Well, so I live in a town of about 1,200 people. So we have, for fire service, it's volunteers. You know, we carry pagers around, and when there's a call, we go. You know, we don't sit at the fire station and wait like a full-time fire department. But I got involved because my dad was a fireman before me, and my brother was already a fireman too. So just kind of a family deal, and that's how I got involved with it. And I've been doing it for about 10 years now.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome. I'm sure the people of the town appreciate that. From like you said, you guys carry around a pager. So then what, you just drive to the fire department, pick up the truck and head out, or how does that work?
Yep. When tone goes off, we all head to the station then. And if you're around or available, I mean, you know, if you're out of town, you're out of town. You're not going to make it. But
yeah. That's nuts. Yep.
So then drive to the station, get the gear on and in the trucks and out the door we go. So, wow.
So how long does it take you to get from your house to the station?
To drive, it's about a minute.
Oh, all right, not bad at all.
Five blocks. So
okay, cool.
The only problem is, you know, if it's at night, you got to get throw at least a little some clothes on. You don't want to go in your underwear and sock. You don't go on a fire without socks. Yeah, that's real bad for your feet. So that's usually the most problem, is getting socks lined up.
Sure.
If you're not already, you know,
if you're not ready,
find that work, it's not a problem.
Yeah. But, so speaking of that, what's the paying job?
The paying job, I am a plumber.
Excellent. My
heating, cooling, plumbing.
My neighbor and one of my best friends does that kind of stuff. That's that's an in need job too right now, I bet.
It is. Yep. I work for my parents. They've been doing it for close to 40 years, so it's me and my mom and my dad. And
awesome. So you are definitely an essential employee, as classified by the government right now. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you don't get to work from home. So you're out in the field regardless right now with everything going on.
Yeah, pretty much. As far as personal job, we're real selective on what we're doing right now. We're pretty much not doing anything that's not an emergency. You know, we're not going and fixing drippy faucets or, you know, little odds and ends calls like that. If it's no heat or water leaks or plug sewer,
sure.
No hot water, no water, you know, things like that. We're doing stuff that's not necessarily emergency, but stuff that we're not doing anything that's not, you know, if you can live without it, we're not going to do it.
Sure. I got you. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed any type of change at all from the firefighter side or even the day job with everything? Have you seen a change in terms of the calls or anything like that?
Well, calls coming in, like say the stuff that we're not doing, those calls aren't even coming in. So,
okay.
You know, people are only calling with emergencies. Nobody knows how, you know, there's a lot of people that can't work right now.
Yeah.
So they're not going to go out and spend any money that they don't need to at the moment.
Sure.
My wife works for a candle factory and they shut down. Nobody's buying candles right now. Yeah. So they're like, we could work, but you know, we can only build the inventory so up, and we might as well just wait till people can go out and about and start buying candles again. Just
wait
so
till that stimulus check comes in and then go get that back out there. well, that's cool, man. All right, well, let's talk a little NASCAR here. We are just four races in and at a halt, but what have you thought of the racing so far this 2020 season?
Well, it's been a little different for me because I don't have a driver in the Cup Series anymore with Landon Castle not having a Cup ride. Watching races on Sundays, I watch them. Sure. I've always been a John Hunter Nemechek fan, so I've got his scanner on, but it still is just not quite the same as what things used to be.
Sure.
And still, but I mean, the racing I think has been very good, which is surprising because we had such a lackluster year last year, and it's the same package. Well, except for Phoenix, but
yeah, I was going to say Phoenix,
which was amazing.
That really opened the possibilities for the short tracks coming up this year to be for some incredible racing. We know the road courses are incredible racing. You know, and hell, you know, every year a mile and a half seems to impress us. So once we get back rolling, I'm excited about the races coming up. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of them. So
yes, jam packed, which we'll get our fill once we can go back. That'll be cool. What'd you think? Did you get to watch any of the iRacing event this past Sunday?
I did watch Sunday, and I was very well entertained. Yeah. I mean, it's not the same, but still, it's better than nothing, and absolutely, it's a show.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do it again this Sunday. I'm sure they'll get a couple kinks worked out, and yeah, I mean.
I never thought I'd be sitting at home on a Sunday watching a race, watching Timmy Hill try and hang on for the lead.
You and
that's
me
not
both.
Something I expected to see any time, but yeah. We did.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's cool. Hell, I don't even know if it's capability in iRacing, if they could, you know, let you run whatever vehicle series you ran in. So if you ran a truck series and you wanted to run a truck out there with the cup car, I think that would be kind of cool. I like you said, I never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be dialed in to watch what's basically a video game and live tweet. But when you're jonesing, you're jonesing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've had two weeks of nothing, so it's something. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it got real good there towards the end, as I don't know if they figured it out or they weren't throwing the cautions like they were. It was pretty caution happy, but once they had that nice long run at the end there, they put on some real good racing.
Absolutely. No, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I didn't enjoy it for, you know, if it was at a real track. I enjoyed it for the entertainment, the fact that NASCAR community came together on social media, that the drivers had a good time putting on a show for the fans. That was definitely more of an entertainment factor than it was an actual sporting event factor, and that's 100% okay. You know, it gave us something to rally behind, which was awesome in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. All right, man. Where could everybody follow you at on social media?
I'm at John_Racing64 on Twitter. If you ever see the screen name Thunderfoot or Iowa Riggs Fan, that would be me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, John, once fantasy picks back up, I look forward to seeing you move up the standings there, sir. Thank you so much for your service to the community as a volunteer firefighter. That's just incredible for you to take on that risk and to give back to everybody there. So thank you so much for doing that. I hope you and the family stay safe and healthy, and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
Will do. And one last thing before I go.
Yes.
This weekend, we lost Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
If you are a race fan, you have to watch the movie Six Pack. It was one of my favorite movies growing up. So everybody, if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube.
I will add it to the list for sure, man.
All right.
Take care, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Thanks, Brandon.
Yep. We'll see you. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, very cool to catch up with John there. It's been a minute since I've been able to talk with him. The volunteer firefighters came out in full force for this. All of the callers that are listeners tonight have at least been a volunteer firefighter at some point, which is very cool. The next one I'm sure you guys have definitely interacted with on Twitter, Mr. Greg Whited. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, he is currently sixth place in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. He's a big Kevin Harvick fan. He's a fan of Yunker Motorsports. He is from West Virginia. And most importantly, he is a volunteer firefighter. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Mr. Greg Whited. Sir, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am awesome, man. Thanks for calling into the show and being a part of tonight's show. I appreciate that. How are things going with you, man?
Well, slowly but surely, you know, everything coming around. We had a rough few months here personally, but hopefully things will be looking up
Well, hey, I have to think that life for everybody hopefully has a positive upward trend once all this nonsense starts to subside here a little bit. Greg, first off, I want to thank you for your service to the first responders and all that there as a volunteer firefighter. That is quite selfless of you to do that as a volunteer. Man, how did you get started with that?
Well, me and a buddy were actually hanging out, and we were talking about it. And of course, kids, who doesn't want to do that?
Sure.
Sure, but we were hanging out. He was a couple years older than I was, but I was 16. And we went down to the, this was 2004, we went down to the local volunteer fire station, and I joined as a junior and started taking my classes and the rest of history.
What was the program like? You know, is it any different from being a volunteer to an actual, you know, city paid type firefighter or anything like that?
Some things are different, but for the most part, a lot of it is the same. A lot of cities, no matter what training you have, they make you start over again. Like if I was to go get hired in Charleston here with Capital, I would have to just start all over again for them. But there are some of the local smaller municipalities that would accept my training going forward.
That's nuts, man. What's the 9-to-5 job since that's volunteer?
Well, I am the lead parts sales for a John Deere dealership, Leslie Equipment Company. Here, we've got 7 locations: West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky.
That's awesome. Do you? I mean, how has like so up here in Michigan? We're on a You know, you can't leave your house unless you're a quote unquote essential employee, I think is the word they were using. So are you still open for business and all that? Are you working with that? Do you get to work from home at all or anything like that?
Well, we can't work from home. We're on the same orders as of today for the stay home thing. But according to Homeland Security, John Deere is essential to keep America running.
So. Amen.
We will be continuing on as nothing has happened.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, I'm sure that helps everything there. What about the wife and kids? Do they, you know, how are they adjusting to the no school and all that stuff?
Well, the kids are loving it. I don't know about the wife so much.
I tell you, I have really gotten a kick out of seeing all the stuff on social media, especially Facebook, with like the family things about, you know, I sent my kid to detention today, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That cannot be easy, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure it's tough on her. I mean, because she's there all day, every day with him as it is.
That's nuts. Well, man, all right, how about give me a crazy story. Like, what's something that if someone said, give me your best volunteer firefighter story, what's the first one that comes to mind?
Well, there's a lot of them you just don't really want to talk about.
Fair enough. I totally could understand that.
One of the most recent actually was kind of crazy. And this was just a couple weeks ago. A woman had, I don't know, she said a deer jumped out in front of her, but that's a common excuse. I'm not saying that's not what happened. Don't take me the wrong way there. She, instead of correcting to the left where there was a ditch, she went to the side with a creek. So she rolled about 5 or 6 times, and she took out a 6-inch gas main.
Wow.
So, yeah, we had to work on getting her out of the car. I think we were about 25 feet away from that thing just blowing off. And so, I mean, that's kind of a dangerous situation. I've never been that close to one of the bigger lines blowing off like that.
That's intense. Go ahead.
As soon as we talked about me being on the show, of course, Saturday night, Sunday morning, 1:30, we got a call for a garage fire. It was a car caught on fire inside the garage, but by the time anybody noticed, the garage was pretty well gone. It had caught the house on fire by the time we got there.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy. What type of, required hours, or, you know, is it just, you know, all everyone's phone rings and who can ever jump up? You know, what... From a volunteer standpoint, what's like the time requirement for what you do?
Well, you got to have all your training before you can do everything, of course. And it's getting to where it takes more hours and it's more strict. And I don't have anything against that, because there's the entry level training now is about four times as long as it was when I took it.
Sure.
But that does incorporate two extra classes with it as well. So, but then as far as that, we have weekly meetings. Ours is actually tonight. We do it on Monday evening at 6 o'clock. We check all the equipment and everything like that, test everything out, and run through maybe some scenarios, or if it's the week for a meeting or something like that. And then if you know, you get the call, if you can go, you go, and if you can't, then, I mean, you can't. But that's why we use mutual aid so often.
Sure. That's crazy.
You know, we've got a bunch of departments around us that we can call for help anytime that we need. You know, that's a good thing when you're on somewhere like we are. There's not a lot of people. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What, do you anticipate tonight's meeting having, you know, any drills, or have you guys seen an increase, or has this whole COVID-19 impacted you at all yet? Have you noticed anything from that regard?
Well, it has impacted us on some of the calls that we will run. We're not running the, I don't want to word this wrong, but the less essential medical calls. We're still going to run anybody with cardiac arrest or any kind of issues like that.
Sure.
But the county is actually trying to keep us from being exposed as much as they can. So,
sure.
We've definitely seen a decrease in the number of calls, especially in the medical side, so where, you know, we haven't been out as much in the last couple of weeks.
It's definitely an interesting time. Like, you know, it's a first for everybody, you know?
Well, yeah, it's definitely different. As far as tonight, you were asking about that. We're probably going to do just some more cleaning up and maybe some debriefing and maybe some critiquing from the fire there Saturday night, because we didn't come back in until about 5 a.m. and then we had to get the truck ready to go again. So we didn't spend a whole lot of time doing that.
Wow, that's intense. Well, let's talk a little NASCAR for a minute. Kevin Harvick's your guy. Everyone knows he's my guy. What do you think of his season so far, four races in?
It seems still like it's a little bit up and down like it was last year. I don't know. I expect it to get a little bit better, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, week and a half ago, they said Martinsville. But with the way everyone keeps extending this stuff out, man, I wonder when we're going to get to go back racing. And it's tough for everybody that wants to root their driver on to victory, that's for sure. What'd you think of the iRacing this past Sunday?
Well, to be honest with you, I was taking a nap through the most of it.
Nothing wrong with that. We're all on lockdown, so what the hell? Why not?
Well, I was wore out. I was wore out. You got to think, I didn't get home till probably 6 o'clock. You know, the kids are up an hour later, so. But I caught the end of it, and it actually wasn't too bad. I was actually surprised.
I thought Fox did a real nice job trying to make you feel like you were watching an actual race.
Yeah, they did good. The little bit that I saw, I don't know, it may have been 20 laps or so there, but I think it was the last caution was when I came in.
Awesome. Greg, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
Well, I am on Facebook. I am Greg Whited Jr. You'll find my dad's memorial page now. If you don't put the Jr. on there. And Twitter, Greg Whited 4. And I'm on Instagram, but I'm not active there at all.
You and me both. I make a post once a week. My Tuesday show post gets up there. It's beyond me. I just cannot figure out how to make it useful from the show perspective there. But I make my once a week post, but I keep trying to up my game there and that, and it just doesn't seem to happen.
Yeah, I'm just not big on it. I don't know. I'm not. Doesn't seem to be my kind of thing there. But
yeah, I'm with you.
I would do away with Facebook, but I run our fire department page, and if anybody's interested in that, that is Tornado Volunteer Fire Department. You'll see there. So.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Oh.
I was trying to keep up on the updates of every call, and it's been overwhelming the past few months. I'm going to try to get back into that. People really enjoyed that.
I bet, yeah. You know, I know a lot of people that still, like, follow, like, you know, the in-home scanners for their local police and fire departments, if those are still live. And because I know some areas have restricted that, but I know some people that still get a huge kick out of that, that's for sure.
Yeah, we got a lot of people out here that do that. And then you get home and you look on Facebook and you can see out here everybody's asking what was going on, waiting on the fire department to say what happened. So.
That's awesome. That's great. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Greg White. Greg, thank you for calling into the show. Thank you for risking your life in such a dangerous profession. I hope you and the family stay safe and healthy and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
Absolutely.
All right, take care, brother. Oh, great to catch up with Greg there. Man, you know, these guys putting their lives on the line as volunteer firefighters, not even getting paid for this. That is just absolutely incredible. Glad these guys are able to call in tonight. Got one more listener caller here that I'll get on here in just a bit. But first, I think it's time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And, of course, on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean. Just search Lap Traffic or NASCAR, and you will find me. Subscribe. Leave a comment. All that good stuff. Giveaways. Got the new T-shirt and hat giveaway at 4,500 followers, so appreciate the retweets already on that one. We'll continue to get that out to kind of bump things up there. And once things get back to normal, do a couple new ideas. The subscriber giveaway worked out real well a couple weeks ago. So once things are back up and back to the status quo of normal, we'll get back to some of that, but wanted to get something out there for you guys. And of course, got the big one, the 5,000 follower giveaway, the rear quarter panel there for sure. Some new follower shout outs on Twitter. Richard Cost at 54 Rick, NASCAR fan, welcome to the show, man. Mr. Primetime at MMA for Money, a former odds maker and sportsbook director and a NASCAR fan. Sir, we may have to chat one day. I'm telling you, the Detroit casinos opened up their sports books, and the next day is when all this nonsense hit the fans. So, man, cannot wait to go and place a bet downtown as soon as things get back to normal. That's for sure. Patty at Patty underscore IN underscore MD, a Martin Truex Jr. fan, I'm guessing from Maryland. Welcome to the show. And Mark at Melski Sharks, a weather geek and a Chase Elliott fan. Well, we love our weather geeks over here. Just go ask Aaron Studwell or Brian Newdorf. So welcome to the show, Mark. Don't forget stickers and koozies. I got free ones for you. Just go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I'll be happy to send one out to you for sure. All right. That'll do it for social media. Let's get someone who I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with on Twitter, Mr. Michael Palmer, on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. He is from the great state of Michigan. You can find him and his son at a track near you. He is an ER nurse. Welcome to the show, Michael Palmer. Sir, good evening. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on your podcast.
I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate the selfless dedication to your trade there. An ER nurse, man, that cannot be easy, especially in these times. And can't wait to get to talk to you about that here in just a little bit. You and I, we're both from Michigan. What part of Michigan are you from there, sir?
I'm in Walled Lake, so about half hour west of Detroit.
That's awesome. Born and raised Michigan, or did you migrate to Michigan?
Born and raised my whole life here in Michigan.
Hell yeah, I love it. Absolutely fantastic. Now here's where we'll know if we're going to be best of friends if not.
All right.
Are we maize and blue or green and white?
I'm going to have to go with the green and the white.
Oh, dial tone. That's all good, man. We're both suffering right now. We didn't get to see either of our teams compete in the Big Ten or March Madness. It's just crazy times right now, man.
It is crazy times. I mean, technically right now we'd be gearing up for the Sweet 16 if both our teams made it. So
yeah, it's Yeah, the closest thing, I talked about this on the show last week, and you're born and raised here, so you probably remember this a little bit. The closest thing that I could even equate what we're going through right now is that big brownout that we had in 2003. That's like the only thing I can maybe compare this to at the time being.
I think, you know what, if I think about that, you're pretty close. I mean, I remember when that happened, I was a rookie firefighter. So that was huge at the time, but that only lasted, I think, 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, I had only lost power a little bit. I know there were pockets that had lost it for, you know, a week or so, but, and we're obviously well beyond that, but, it was crazy because it was, you felt primitive. You felt like you were camping in your own house for a few days there.
I remember being locked in a fire station for over 24 hours with the same guys and couldn't flush toilets. You couldn't do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So it got to be very interesting toward the end. So,
yeah, I could see that. That is for sure. Well, man, I know I've seen you at MIS. We talked a little bit about it before we started here. How awesome is the experience at the track that you get to have with your son? I mean, that's just the coolest that you're able to get him involved in racing at such an early age.
You know, I think the best part is just seeing his love for it. You know, him growing up, he was, you know, a baby, kind of got into it maybe when he was like about five, and I took him to his first race when he was seven, and now he's just progressed into just, he absolutely loves it. Like, I'll FaceTime him and he says he's watched an old race on YouTube, or, you know, he can quote me statistics of what drivers are good here and there, and he really can compete with me in fantasy. The best experience I think we had was just this past year in Homestead when I took him down there. It was just a good time with him.
That's great. What's your son's name?
His name's Michael.
Oh, that's awesome. That's easy enough. That's great. All right. So you said, like, one of your coolest experiences was Homestead this past weekend. But I bet if I were to ask him what his coolest experience is, that, you know, what would you think his might be? Was it meeting a particular driver or anything like that?
The first race I ever took him to was in 2017 in June. It was a Father's Day race.
Okay.
And he was had his Jimmy Johnson stuff on, hat, shirt, everything. And Jimmy had came strolling through, and I just said, try to go up to him and get a picture. But there's, you know, everyone's around him.
Sure.
And my son kind of got lost in the crowd. And I was like, well, that picture's not happening. It's, you know, that. Well, Jimmy stopped, turned around, kind of put his arm around my son's shoulder, brought him back, and put him in front of him and said, you know, everybody step back. I need to take a picture with my biggest fan here today.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's the kind of class act that Jimmy Johnson is. And that is something I will always remember. I'm glad I had my sunglasses on because I think that's the time I got teary eyed. So
there might've been some onions going there, right?
Yeah. Thank God for the Ray-Bans.
That's fantastic. Now, what about you? Like, you know, is Jimmy your driver? Who's your driver?
Jimmy's always been my driver. He just is a class act. I mean, he's that guy that, you know, he loses, he's still the same Jimmy Johnson who wins.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, me being, you know, an adult and being a father and a professional, that's somebody that you kind of want to model yourself after. And, you know, I want to pass down to my son. And, you know, I tell my son, you know, he's going through tough times, Jimmy, with being on track, but look how he handles it. And he handles it just gracefully. And, you know, he doesn't give up.
Absolutely. That's it's a great way to put, you know, there are so many people that, you know, from a celebrity perspective that the younger generation thinks they should be modeling themselves after. And maybe they shouldn't. But definitely Jimmy Johnson is someone that you wouldn't mind, you know, your kid being, you know, looking up to. That's for sure.
You know, I think every NASCAR driver, I really wouldn't mind my kids looking up. I know people aren't fans of Kyle Busch, but, you know, his dedication to go out there and win. I mean, he's the unhappiest second place driver I've ever seen. So that just, if you're a sponsor, you definitely want to sponsor him because he's out there to win for you. He's not out there to get second place. He's Absolutely. Out there to get that win.
Absolutely. You know, and I've talked about it on the show before about Kyle Busch. You know, he's so great for the sport. He accepts the role of the heel, and that's fantastic. Yeah. And you need that. And once you look off, you know, if you don't like him on the track or how he drives, you know, that's one thing, but you can't you can't take away from him, you know, how, you know, the charities that he's a part of and all of that, you know. So it's, you know, as long as you embrace it for, hey, I just, you, if you look at him from a character perspective, I don't like that. That's great. You know, I can totally rally behind that. But you're right. You know, there's not a NASCAR driver out there that, you know, wouldn't be a great role model for any young fan, that's for sure. And I think that's one of the coolest things, you know, about you and your son's relationship that I've seen on social media for the most part, really. And it's out there and people love it. And it's great to help show that, hey, great father-son moments and to get the newer, younger fans. You know, that's how we're going to get younger fans a part of the sport, you know, 10, 15 years from now.
Absolutely agree. It's got to bring that younger generation up, and you know, a lot of this generation is kind of growing into social media, and social media is great, but it also keeps fans, I think, away from the track sometimes with too much access to some things.
Sure.
But I think if you know, you push it and you get them out there, and I always tell people, like, when they say, oh, you like NASCAR, and I'm like, go to a race with me, go to one race, and if you don't like it, okay, it's not your thing. But everybody that I've taken to, it was their first time, has become a fan for life once they've got that experience at the track.
I can totally relate to that. I got guys that will now text me during the race. I got guys that will come over and watch the race, people that I've taken to an event, and others that just maybe come and hang out. You know, we throw a big Daytona 500 party every year, and people have become hooked over the years, so much so that they're into it just as much as I am, and it's fantastic. I love that. Let's switch gears a minute. Let's talk about your profession a little bit in ER nurse. I can only imagine what you guys are going through and dealing with right now. What made you decide to choose that for your profession, sir?
You know, just growing up as a kid, I kind of had some health issues. I kind of overcame them. But I remember spending a lot of time, you know, maybe in emergency rooms. There's a couple times I was a severe asthmatic as a child. The firefighters came. But to make a long story short, I went to firefighting academy like right after high school. And then after a couple of years, you know, I've taken patients to the hospital. I was like, you know, I should go back and get my RN degree. And all I wanted to do was be an ER nurse and just help people. And you know, I've been one for 12 years and put the firefighting aside when I became a father. But it just, to me, was the desire to help people during tough times. And right now, it's probably the toughest time that I've ever had in my career.
I commend that. That's incredible. Seem to have like the firefighter trend going. I had Greg Whited on a little bit ago. I'm not sure if you've interacted with him at all on Twitter, but yep. He's a volunteer firefighter. And I've got John Warrington on as well, who's also a volunteer firefighter. So that's awesome. Absolutely love that. I mean, can you share a little bit, like, you know, how things have changed from like 2 weeks ago to today, or a story or something, just to kind of, you know, give a little bit bigger picture?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can tell you 2 weeks ago, I've never seen something become, it's like you put gasoline on a fire. It kind of explodes. And you kind of heard about this 2 weeks ago, and now you're in this full blown pandemic. And when you look back on it, you're like, 2 weeks ago, life was totally different. Even a week ago, this kind of just started. So, you know, it's been trying. It's been an honor to serve people, to help people during this time, because people are coming to us and for answers and to get better. And it's just, I feel honored. I feel privileged. But at the same time, it definitely wears on you, but you know, you get a day of rest and you go back at it for, you know, 5-6 straight days. It's something that it's a motivator.
Does the, you know, where do you get the energy and the drive from? You know, one day off ain't not enough to recharge the batteries. That's for sure. So what is it that, that keeps you going at like 3:00 in the afternoon or whatever, when you've got rounds coming back up or something like that?
Yeah, you know, it's my son. I think like right now I can't really interact with anybody other than the hospital.
Sure.
I'm considered a high risk because I'm working in the emergency room and I'm around people. So I go home and the day off that I have, I can't go anywhere, you know? So I can't see my son. I haven't seen him for like about a week and a half, but I FaceTime him.
Sure. Sure.
And he just keeps me going. And I tell him, I was like, you know, this is all going to pass and everything's going to be okay. But just when I feel down, like the other night, I was feeling very discouraged and his FaceTime just lifted me up. And I remember waking up and, you know, the next day and going into work, just feeling fully charged.
That's incredible. I love that. That's fantastic. That I got goosebumps, man. I absolutely love that. All right. Let's switch back to NASCAR a little bit here. Okay. Once things get back to normal, what races is everybody going to see you and your son at?
This year, definitely both Michigan races. I surprised them this year with, Santa Claus brought them Bristol night race tickets.
Awesome.
And that he'll be missing a little bit of school for that. But, you know, his mother and I had agreed that that was okay. And, you know, I usually like to get to a race by myself and see some friends. I was going to do Richmond, but that was canceled, unfortunately. So I'm really hoping that, you know, Coca-Cola 600 is still on schedule because I absolutely love going to Charlotte. That's where a lot of my friends are. But so far, three of them slotted for my son and I to be at.
That's great. I went to Richmond for the first time last year, the fall race. Wife has some friends down there. Got to stay with them. They were about 15 minutes from the track. Great area. Had an absolutely fantastic time down there.
That is my favorite track on the circuit. It's just the history behind the track, the type of track it is, the staff that's at the track, the area, and it just night racing. It just doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I was really hoping to go to the Martinsville race here in May, but, you know, that who knows if we're actually going to get there, if that'll be too close to call to get things in schedule for that. But definitely want to get to Martinsville and Bristol hopefully this year if we can get things back to normal here.
Yeah. Martinsville's a great track. I was there in 2015 when Kenseth had wrecked Logano. So that was.
Oh, hell yeah.
I remember being covered in beer and, the grandstands went wild and a couple beers went flying. I didn't even care. I thought, you know, it was quite the experience to see that race. And absolutely. It was a blessed, but yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that we get back to racing soon. Fingers are crossed. You know, I have faith that, you know, this is going to be over with sooner than later. And I think what's going on with what they did on Sunday yesterday, I didn't really get to watch it. I saw some highlights because I was at work, but the virtual racing that was on, I was going through my Twitter feed and I can tell you that hour or two that went on, it made me so happy to see the tweets of the fans that for like, you know, they were able to escape what's going on and just kind of get back to even if it was virtual cars, it still seemed like it was a true race.
Absolutely. Never in my wildest dreams that I think I'd live tweet a virtual race that I think it would get as well recepted as it did. I mean, it was great, like you said, to escape and, you know, sat on the couch and watched basically what I do on my PS4 with NASCAR Heat. Like, it was absolutely great. I can't applaud Fox enough for the incredible job of making you feel like you were watching an actual race, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I mean, if I didn't know it was a virtual race and I was just going through Twitter, social media, I would think that there was really a race on.
Sure.
Yeah. And it just the positivity of the people during this time and the fans, it just was so uplifting and heartwarming to see that. And, you know, it made me smile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Michael, where can everybody keep up with you and your son on social media?
Usually right now it's Instagram a lot. That's where my the same handle is Twitter. It's Mikey2082. That's where like the best pictures go. Because you can put multiple pictures up, and Twitter, the account Mikey2082. Those are the two big ones that I use. I'm not into like the TikToks or anything like that. I still believe in the old school social media.
I'm still trying to get into Instagram, let alone. Yeah, I'm with you. Facebook and Twitter are like my still two go-tos.
Right. Yeah. Instagram and Twitter are my two things that I really do. I interact with the most people on.
Awesome. Fantastic. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Michael Palmer. Man, thank you for calling into the show. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for the selfless acts, man. It's commendable for sure. I hope you, your son, the family stay safe and healthy, and look forward to talking to you soon and seeing you on the track soon, man, for sure.
Thank you. You, your family be safe, and we'll all get through this together.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, very cool talking to Michael there. I know you all have seen his pictures of him and his son out at the track, which is just awesome. Cannot wait to hook up with him at MIS and get to shake his hand and all that good stuff. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. Well, again, there's no weather to update us on figuratively. Why not shoot the breeze for a little bit? A big congratulations are in order for Mr. Aaron Studwell this evening. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm doing well. And yourself?
Excellent. Excellent. It's Tuesday show night. Put something together here. I'm excited about it. Sir, congratulations. Lap Traffic Nation, Aaron has submitted his dissertation for his PhD and is set to defend it next month. So congratulations there, sir. That's not an easy road to go down. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I guess the biggest surprise for me and all that was going back and looking how many days it had been since my first day of class. And it was almost 1,900 days since my first day of class back in January 2015.
That's crazy. And if you were to do the count for between your first day in undergrad till now, that would probably be
September 1984.
I will
go back and I'll look that one up and I will tweet that later.
That's hysterical. I absolutely love that. Yes, that's for sure. Lap Traffic Nation, as you know, Aaron and I love to talk Big Ten. We love to talk March Madness. And we don't have that opportunity, sir. How are you filling the void?
Writing.
See, you got something productive done, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, but to borrow from the interweb, March Sadness with our plain white T-shirts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hell, if I didn't have this podcast, I might make some productivity on my PhD. But, you know,
keep doing what you're doing.
It was
the PhD or the golden tea machine. I don't know.
It's just not enough time. Even with being quarantined, there's not enough time to fit everything in that I like to apply my time to.
That's true. That's just amazingly so, because we don't have commutes and we don't have, you know, all this job time where you can be a bit more productive. Although I've actually seen people who are having more meetings.
Yeah,
because they feel they have to have meetings because they can't be in the same space. We're going to get you and make sure you're really working by getting you on a video conference.
Yeah. I've talked to some people that's how the things are kind of being handled. And, you know, I get it, you know, because not every field is used to working from home or letting people work from home. I've been in an industry that, you know, kind of has trailed in that direction. You know, I've been remote, and I mean, hell, I haven't shown up at the office in 3 weeks, and I had my first video meeting today, you know, and it was not because of that. But on the same token, I know that there are some people that probably do need that because they haven't been in that rhythm of working from home. So that kind of keeps them reeled in. But then that just takes micromanaging to a whole new level there.
It does, and as long as you don't put a keystroke locker on my computer, but the other converse thing is, I can check when somebody logs into the network and logs out, and when they go idle. If somebody really wants to micromanage, they can find ways to do it.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, you know, and depending on the industry, you know, too, it's like my wife, you know, hired in as remote, like 70% of the company works remote 100% of the time, hired in with the understanding that it's flexible hours. Like if you have her boss goes and does yoga on Wednesdays, and that's just understood, like, you know, and Lindsay likes to go to Costco on Friday mornings, and that's just understood, you know, as long as they're more under the approach of, as long as the work's done by deadline, we don't care when you do that work, you know? So, and that's a good way to go about it, I think.
You mean so like management treats the employees like adults?
Ah, see, operative word there. Yes, yes, yes.
But the key there is you have to act like an adult. Yeah, because if you start not meeting your deadlines and not meeting production, and then there's going to be these weird new metrics.
Yep. Yep.
You're going to have to be micromanaged. Yep. But that's really no different than working in an office setting.
Yep. No, I'm with you there. I am with you there. Well, man, you finished the dissertation. You sent that in on Sunday. Did you have a little in-home celebration Sunday night with a nice ice cold beer or anything like that?
I did. I did. And I actually got one of those, and I'll throw out the plug here for the Guinness Nitrogen Stouts.
Okay.
That was smooth. Nice. That was good. Right. I enjoyed that.
All right. I tell you, I have been enjoying a White Claw here and there all of a sudden. I don't know why. They came out with this new flavor pack, and Lindsay goes, here, try this. I'm like, this tastes like Sprite. And so I'm drinking White Claw Lemon. It's delicious.
Okay, you bring it to MIS. I'll have one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I will totally bring some to MIS. Absolutely. There is there will be plenty to go around, that's for sure.
Good to know.
Yes, yes. Let's see, what else? How about binging shows? Are you binging anything since there's no sports to watch?
I've been kind of more logged into CBS and watching Keeping Up on Picard, which is the new Star Trek series.
Okay.
And then with all the writing, I fell behind on my DVR shows. I'm working on catching up on like the DC superhero shows on CW. So Flash and Legends and Black Lightning, Supergirl. So, yeah, it's just I've got maybe like 12 hours more to watch of them.
Nice. Yeah, Lindsay and I, Blacklist is one of my go-tos. I don't know why. I really don't, but I'm sucked into Manifest. Like, the whole premise of that show is just not something I'd normally buy into, but for whatever reason, I'm watching that one.
And you can explain this to me off air.
Yes.
How do they get a second season? Because this is like something that's going to be a season. That's
going to
be a
you.
Season show, and they're going to resolve it.
Yes.
Okay.
That is what I thought 100%. And literally, the first season, I'm sitting there watching it with Lindsay. I'm like, I literally. 12 times a show for the first 5 shows. Why am I watching this? Why am I watching this? And here I am, hooked in. So there's that. And
I think a lot of shows are like that, though, too. You sort of watch it first because they're setting up characters and they're setting up plot lines.
Yes. Well, I couldn't buy into the plot line. Like, seriously, a plane disappears and comes back. Like, that's a little just too sci-fi for me, and I have a hard time buying in. But I don't understand why. That I have bought in. So.
Good. Welcome to the sci-fi side.
Listen, I don't know if we've ever even talked about this, so we'll get the on-air reaction. I've never seen Star Wars, I've never seen Star Trek, and I've never seen one comic book movie.
Heretic. You've never seen any of the Marvel movies?
Not a single Marvel movie. Nothing. I couldn't even tell you the difference between Marvel and DC. You could throw $1 million on the line and say which comic.
I want to put together a 5-day seminar for people like you. And I'm not going to charge you. I'll charge everybody else. I'm not going to charge you. I'm going to put together a 5-day class on this.
Yeah, I am so blind and naive to all of that. Like, nothing. I got nothing for you.
Okay. But still,
but
you
I
like
watch
Manifest.
Wrestling.
That's a good start.
I watch wrestling.
That's just fiction as opposed to science fiction.
That's true. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Well, there's.
But and you do enjoy the classics. You do enjoy the classics. Hulk Hogan, Randy, Macho Man, Savage.
Absolutely.
Those are the classics.
Yes. You know, for me, like, I'd rather just watch something I know I like. Like, I could go back and watch any of the Ocean's movies 100 times, Pirates of the Caribbean, comedy, slapstick, Hangovers, Ted, My Cousin Vinny. Like, I would rather just rewatch those than have to waste time trying to figure out if I like something new.
There is almost like a comfort food.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, and those classic Caddyshack, Animal House.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted's a great one. Ted's, I'm just thinking of the Garfield scene. Let's move on.
Well, all right. We'll move on. I suppose we should talk racing for a second here. iRacing this weekend at Texas. We ran this past weekend at Homestead. What'd you think? And how's the virtual weather shaping up for this weekend?
I'm going to go to what I think first. When I'm done with my PhD and I'm settled in my new job, I'm getting an iRacing setup. We talked about this a little bit before. Yes. I'm not sure how much I'm going to invest, but I'm going to invest. I think this is phenomenal. I enjoyed it. I was sitting here watching the race again in like show prep and just to kind of put some thoughts together on it. And there are some things I want to kind of put out there, but I thought it was great. I mean, they did an informative pre-race show. Yep. The anthem, the invocation was great. I mean, they're nice touches.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great to bring the community together, especially go on the Twitter and you follow people's feeds and just how everybody kind of banded together on all this. And then Harvick with the donations and matching Hamlin, and I believe Fox Sports matched Hamlin's donation as well.
Harvick's opened up the checkbook. He wants to donate some money, you know. He bummed out. I'm so bummed that this bounty thing's gotten delayed just because there was so much hype and I was so excited. And I know a lot of the listeners were, a lot of, you know, that Chase Elliott Hooters truck was going to look sweet at Atlanta and we didn't get to see that. Like, I can't wait for this to pick back up and get back into full gear.
Yeah, and your boy Harvick's racing this weekend, I think.
Yeah, I did see that. I'm excited. You know, I joked. I tweeted out over the weekend. I'm like, I wonder if Lionel will make a race to win diecast. And you bet your sweet ass if Harvick wins, I'll go and buy that damn thing. Absolutely. They got me suckered in for $59.99 or whatever the hell they charge nowadays. Absolutely. Wow.
Here's the other question I want to throw to you on the iRacing stuff. You look at guys and I'm going to toss, and looking at the leaderboard at some points was like looking at the NASCAR world upside down.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Do guys like Majeski, Smithley, Hill have more talent, or are they kind of like a De Benedetto where you get them out of this backmarker equipment and maybe they do run a little bit better, they do run mid pack and have some better races?
Man, I tell you, that's a great question. And wouldn't you like to be able to do that double blind study? And, you know, like, that's the thing. We, you know, unless we can take that, you know, that situation and put him in something different, we can't answer that, you know?
Like, right. It's like you had to go back to what like the IROC was, where you have these fixed setup real cars.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's, I tell you what, I don't know if there's a real way to answer that question. But I will just comment on and say that I think it's fantastic that those guys were able to have their name thrown about on a Sunday afternoon.
100% with you there. And honestly, but that's also what sports talk is. And this is how we make our bread and butter. How we contribute to the media in this. There are questions you could ask. I mean, who's the greatest of all time at that position? And how do you compare a Tom Brady to a Johnny Unitas to a Joe Montana?
Well, I mean, it's Tom Brady.
I understand that. That's why do you say that? I think I said his name first. But you know what I'm saying? You have three just different generational quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's the beauty of it. And you now get these guys like Majeski and Hill and Smithley, and yeah, they're going to get their names out there. And honestly, it may help their sponsorship when we get back to real racing.
Absolutely. That's 100% there. I won't disagree with that. And it's funny, you mentioned Tom Brady there. I have been asked on more than one occasion, will I be rooting for the Patriots? Will I be rooting for the Bucs? You know, where will my alliance be this year? And I will always watch Tom Brady. I became a Patriot fan because of Tom Brady.
Right.
But, man, I just don't see me buying a Buccaneer shirt. Like,
I
don't see that happening.
I'm 100% with you. I grew up in the Baltimore area. And so when I was growing up, the Colts left.
Okay.
So I kind of looked for an AFC team because I had Redskins, but you know, so I was like, yeah, I have an AFC team and an NFC team. And my parents are from New England, so I became a Patriots fan. I think in 1984, 85, I was maybe the only person in my fraternity house. Or, I'm sorry, 85, 86, I was rooting for the Patriots and Grogan out there. And so I've always been a Patriots fan. Then with the Michigan connection, became a Brady fan and even more of a Patriots fan.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to go see. I want to see him succeed in Tampa. But like you said, I'm not running out and buying a number 12.
No. Yeah. No. Can't do it. Can't do it. Oh. Alrighty, sir. Well, I hope you enjoy the racing this weekend. I hope you're able to get your edits done, and look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, the weather looks good for Texas Motor Speedway, both in the real world and in iRacing.
Excellent.
So we are good to go on Sunday.
Excellent. All right, Lat Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. And, of course, Brian Newdorf as well at NASCAR underscore WXMAN. Look forward to you guys getting back to some actual weather updates and all that good stuff. Aaron, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, man.
Sounds good, Brandon. Thanks for your time.
Yep, we'll see you. Well, always great to catch up with Aaron. Dogs are barking in the background. It's been a minute since we've been able to do some lucky dog and laugh down picks. So what the hell? Let's crank this thing up for some lucky dog and laugh down picks for this past weekend. You guys know the drill. You can tweet your lucky dog and laugh down picks from the race weekend. You can call the Wave Around hotline 248-965-9538. Leave them there. All right. Lucky dogs for me. Lucky dogs. Yes, I got a couple. NASCAR, Fox, iRacing, and us, the fans. Oh, and of course, everyone that provides essential services to the public. Quite a few lucky dogs for me. Lap down, Corona, and not the beer. All right, let's get to some tweeted responses. Braxton Crisp, at Braxton Crisp's a lucky dog. The whole NASCAR community to make this thing happen. Lap down, none, because there are no losers when everyone comes together to make lemonade out of lemons. That's what we've been handed. Couldn't have said it better myself there, sir. Linda, at RacingGal underscore Florida's lucky dog. We all get the lucky dog. Good one. I like that. Lisa at LL Chananas, lucky dog, the NASCAR fan base, and heck, everyone involved with NASCAR. Lap down all other sports because they don't have what we had today. I like that. Eric at Eric S18 underscore nines, lucky dog. Everything about today, lap down. Jimmy Johnson wrecking like nine times. Yeah, you got a feel for Jimmy Johnson there. Couldn't get that internet up and working. That's crucial from what I've been told from the iRacing perspective there. Matt at MVecchio81's lucky dog today is Hamlin for not only getting the win, but for the money and the others that will be donating to help fight COVID-19. Lap down goes to Jimmy for his internet not getting him connected and causing a massive pileup when he thought the caution was out. Those are definitely some of the kinks that got to get worked out there a little bit. But, man, what a great time. And Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's lucky dog, Fox and iRacing. Big thank you goes out to them for making this virtual race happen. And lap down, Jimmy, he's pretty good at costing the big ones, whether it's the virtual world or on the track. Ah, I see you, Eddie. All right, let's get to the calls for this week's Lucky Dog Picks.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Matt Camper 1994 once again. Due to issues with my other Twitter page, I had to change back over. But that's a long story for another day. But anyway, so with the iRacing race this afternoon was, oh, my goodness, one of the best things that I've seen in a long time. Definitely something I'm going to big kudos to NASCAR iRacing for putting this together. They'll really distract all of us NASCAR fans for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and put on a good show for us fans. And really, I hope they can do this again in the next 7 weeks, whatever it is, until we come back racing at Martinsville for real in May. But hopefully, but we'll see what happens with that. But, it was something really that really put a smile on my face. Definitely was something that I really, as a fan, really appreciated what NASCAR did. And, the racing was fabulous. I know it was a virtual race, but at the same time was something that, it felt like it was a real race to me. And for that, my lucky dog definitely has to go to NASCAR, iRacing, Fox Sports for putting this all together. Really put on a fantastic show for us, the fans. And as I said before, definitely I'm hoping there'll be more of this, in the next few weeks or even, in the next month or a month and a half before we come back racing in May. And no lap downs. Obviously, nobody's a winner. Nobody's a loser in this race. It's all just about having fun and really putting on a show for the fans, as we the fans deserve, you know, to get entertained with what's going on right now. So obviously I'm looking forward to coming back to the Wave Around hotline, hopefully when racing starts again for real in May. But until then, Brandon, take care, stay healthy, and thank you so much.
Oh, Matt, thanks for calling in. Hope you as well stay healthy there, sir. Thanks for calling in, and great to talk with you last week on the first listener call in there. Like I said at the top of the show, can't wait to get back and talk some lap traffic fantasy. It's so much fun to get you guys involved with that, and there's so much interaction on Twitter and the callers calling in weekly and all that to make picks, which is just awesome. Cannot wait to get back to that. But that said, Lap Traffic Nation, again, big kudos, big thanks to all of the men and women, first responders, medical field, ER, hospitals, doctor's offices, the grocery store people. Be as nice as you can. I hate to be cliche with things like that, but man, these guys are out there not making much, if anything at all, like some of the callers tonight. It's stressful out there in the public, and I can't wait till we can get back to normal, because if this is the new normal, man, it's going to take some getting used to. That is for sure. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 173 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, all that good stuff. Retweet the contest giveaway. Let's get some new followers and get someone a Lap Traffic t-shirt and a hat. Big thanks to Greg Whited, Michael Palmer, John Warrington, and Aaron Studwell for calling in. Next week, I am very excited making their return to the airwaves from across the pond. The MOATF podcast guys, Andrew and David, will be back on the show. Can't wait to see what's going on with those guys, see how things are impacted overseas. Very curious and can't wait to talk to them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!